You may not know this, but heaven recently installed voicemail. Did you know that? It goes like this. Thank you for calling heaven. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for request. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. I'm sorry, all our angels and saints are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in the order it was received. Please stay on the line. To find the loved one that's been assigned to heaven, press 5, then enter his social security number, followed by the pound sign. If you receive a negative response, please hang up and dial area code 666. For our reservations to heaven, please enter John, followed by the numbers 316. Our computers show that you've already been prayed for today, so please hang up and call again tomorrow. Ah, yes. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom on heaven will be done on earth, or the other way around. Lord, you know what we mean. Help us to be agents of bringing your kingdom of heaven here on earth. As I talk and share today, may what I say perk what's on our hearts, perk an idea, perk something that we've been meaning to do and never gotten around to it. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we started this last Sunday, we talked about Matthew 6. Jesus talks about answering his 12 disciples about how to pray in two different places in the New Testament. One is Matthew 6, and the second is the 11th chapter of Luke. Both apostles, both would have been there when he told them how they should pray. And it's interesting to me in Luke 11:11, it says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know, this isn't about worshiping a judgment God is going to get you, a judgment job that's going to punish you. It's about worshiping a God who loves you. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Last week I talked about what my view of heaven was like. It's a place where positive relationships happen. It's a place where we really get to live out all that God created us to be. It's a place of love, of caring, of building each other up. You know? It's a place of loving servanthood. We can't wait to help that person next to us. When Jesus taught this prayer, the 12 disciples had a vague memory of hearing something like this before, because at the end of each Jewish worship service in the synagogues that they attended, they would end the service by saying this: "May God establish his kingdom in your lifetime and in your days and in all ages of the whole house of Israel soon and in the near future." So they prayed that prayer that God would bring his kingdom down for the nation of Israel. So Jesus, in telling the Lord's Prayer, expanded that the kingdom of heaven is not just supposed to be for the nation of Israel, but for the whole earth. That must open up their eyes, don't you think? For the whole earth. For the whole earth. You know, other than money, Jesus talked about kingdom more than he did any other topic. He talked more about money and kingdom than he did about salvation. You know? Because he knew that those were the things that people really need to hear about. God's kingdom. When we say the word kingdom, it means that there must be a king, and he must have his kingdom, his place, and there must be subjects underneath him that kiss his feet and kiss his ring and whatever else they do to show their allegiance. The kingdom of God isn't the kingdom of heaven on earth isn't a place. The kingdom of heaven on earth is where God's Spirit is alive and well. It's where God's work is being acted out. And you know what? In almost every case, God's will is usually acted out through you and through me. He doesn't take our place. He doesn't say, well, they're not doing their job, so I'm going to do it for them. He works through you and I, ushering in the kingdom of God. Remember Frank Sinatra? Remember the song, I Did It My Way? Good song, huh? But that's not the way to success. The way to success is to do it God's way. God knows what's going to happen. He knows the consequences of your actions. He knows what's going to work in this situation and what's not going to work. He knows when people are ready and when they're not ready to hear the gospel. 19th century philosophers. Anybody ever take a philosophy class? I didn't. It's probably good. 19th century philosophers all believed that planet Earth was on an evolutionary track, and that as time went on, planet Earth would become a better and better and better place to live. And if evolution didn't work, then certainly higher education, and certainly that would work. You know, if we just tell people enough information, that will change everything. Well, didn't quite work out that way, did it? Just for starters, let's talk about the 20th century. Two world wars. Millions and millions of people killed. Multi-millions injured. You know? Some of you grew up during the Great Depression. Fun time, huh? Don't think so. That was God's heaven on earth? I don't think so. We developed the atom bomb, and we're still reaping repercussions from that worldwide. You know? Not hardly bringing in the kingdom of God on earth where everyone is built up, where everyone looks out for each other. And now let's come up to the 21st century. And we started out the 21st century with 9/11. Isn't that great? You know, and now we have millions of refugees displaced all over the world. We have wars all over the world. I hardly think that the earth is becoming a better place to live because of technology. Sure, there's some, you know, I mean, I like my microwave, you know. I like the fact I have a microphone that y'all can hear, you know. But it doesn't solve the world's problems necessarily just because we have better and improved technology. People have said to me, well, you know, Pastor, you say that God's in charge, so therefore God must be causing all these wars to start, and God must be causing all these natural disasters, and God must be causing all the bad things that are happening on planet Earth. Well, that's not the God I worship. You know, every once in a while, when it comes to individuals, God does allow bad things to happen, usually as a result of our own doing, consequences for our own actions, because that's how faith is developed. Faith is developed in bad times, almost never grows on easy street in good times. But does God say, well, gee, let's raise up Adolf Hitler? I don't think so. Is God's plan to raise up Osama bin Laden? I don't think so. That's not bringing the kingdom of heaven down on planet Earth. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Remember his brothers sold him into slavery? And so he went to Egypt and rose through the ranks and eventually became assistant to the Pharaoh, second in command. A Jewish person, second in command of Egypt. Wow. As the famine took over, his brothers came from Canaan to Egypt to try and buy some grain. And of course, Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him at first. The second time they came, he revealed who he was, their brother. that they had sold into slavery. And he said this, I always remember this. He says, what men meant for evil, God turned it into good. You know, what men meant for evil, God turned it into good. I think God continues to do that, you know. He continues to pick up after us when we make mistakes. He continues to say, no, put the roadblocks up. That's not the way we want you to go. I want you to go down this way. He continues to be involved in our life when we let him. As you know, we were in New York and Washington, D.C. in June. And, you know, I still have such an image of, you know, the World Trade Center and the memorials there. And, you know, 9/11, the two Twin Towers, of course, went down to the ground. It's 110 stories of steel and concrete. Just all the skyscrapers around 9/11 were all damaged severely, except for one building. Trinity Church, right across the street, didn't get a scratch. Not a scratch. Why is that? Why is that? It's because God already had a plan that after 9/11, he was going to raise up Trinity Church to provide relief and help and respite to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of first responders that were there after the tragedy. You know? That's where we see the kingdom of heaven working. It's when things like that happen. I was, Karen and I were at the fall classes meeting on Friday night, and Mission Southwest, which is our ministry of new church plants, and we do that in combination with the Christian Reformed Church. They were talking about there's a Christian Reformed Church that was going to close in Orangewood. I don't know if you know where Orangewood is. It's on the south side of the valley. And they said, we're willing to close our church because we're not growing, we're not attracting people, we don't have the leadership anymore. It's, you know, we're all worn out, we're tired of doing this, and maybe you can do something with this. And so they closed the church, and they said to Mission Southwest, we want you to raise up a new ministry. And so they started, this is a group of folks, and they started talking and praying, and they had this idea, but they didn't have any money, and didn't have any leadership, and they didn't have any churches to come alongside and partner. I mean, it looked like an impossible thing, absolutely impossible. But as the months went on, God began to open doors. As months went on, God began to provide resources and new leadership and a new partnering church, which is Christ Community Church in Glendale. And so they're going to plant a new church right there in this old Christian Reformed Church building that had closed. It's going to be both Hispanic and English-speaking worship services, you know. God resurrects. He resurrects out of tragedy something new. And I just find that really cool. Some of you probably were alive during the Civil War, right? No? Civil War was the first war in the United States that was absolutely disgusting. Just horrible. Absolutely horrible. Brother against brother, family against family. Yeah. I don't know if you know the story of Theodore Roosevelt. His wife was from the South. So his whole family was split apart. Half serving in the Confederate Army and half serving in the Union Army. You know, went on and became President of the United States. Awful. 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 Well, we had developed the technology of war to the point where we could very easily, you know, not just kill men, but blow their arms and legs and stuff off, right? And so, as the war began, they saw all over the fields that there were hundreds, even thousands of men that were just laying in the fields, you know, slowly bleeding to death from their injuries. Well, along comes a woman by the name of Clara Barton. And Clara Barton says, this isn't right. Somebody's got to do something about this. And so she decides to go out onto the fields. She had to go through all kinds of hoops to get permission from the military hierarchy. She went out on the fields to begin to provide first aid and to begin bandaging and trying to stop the bleeding of all these wounded soldiers. And as time went on, more and more nurses came out and worked in the fields helping these soldiers. And of course, as you know, out of that came the American Red Cross. You know, it's a perfect example of how God uses one person to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, even when it's an awful, awful, awful situation. How is God using you to make someone else's life on earth more like life in heaven? Did you ever think of it that way before? How is God using you to usher in the kingdom of heaven here on earth? You know, I believe that God is transforming our world through you and I. He is transforming our world through churches just like this. He's transforming our world by denominations. You know, we have missionaries all over. We have missionaries in the Middle East, in Muslim countries. You know, there are 500 Christian house churches in Iran. Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed? How come they're all not being shot and killed and arrested? And, you know, it's a slice of the kingdom of heaven occurring on earth in some of the worst places. You know, we have Words of Hope, which is our denominational radio ministry that they specialize in trying to get the gospel to tribes, to countries that won't let missionaries in. And they're having people come to Christ all over the world. God's using those people to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Right here, you know, right here. I hear stories every week of how our small groups are ministering to somebody in time of need. Every week I hear a story, you know. God is using the small groups in this church to be his arms and legs and to reach out and give people hugs, to be there to help them out in time of need. Wow. It's been my experience that God usually does not cause change to happen on planet Earth by himself. He could, but typically he chooses to work through broken people like you and I. You know, the story of Habitat for Humanity is one of my favorite stories. Habitat for Humanity was started by a multi-millionaire attorney in Georgia. And he was a Christian. And of course, the plan, according to him, was to keep on making millions by being a great attorney in Georgia. And then all of a sudden, God opened his eyes and said, I want you to do more than that. There are people everywhere that deserve to have a house, but they can't afford it for a whole variety of different reasons. I want you to do something about it. And so thus began Habitat for Humanity. And as you know, Habitat for Humanity has become an international ministry all over and very, very active in the Prescott area. It's God working through one man to bring down the kingdom of heaven here on earth. As we read the book of Acts, when the church started, these small house churches, these small groups of people just turned the whole world upside down. You know? Because people saw what they had. They saw that these people were loving and caring. They were there for each other. And they reached out and helped each other. People were drawn to that. People were, they became a magnet. People wanted to be part of that. And that's why they came. Luke 11, 9 to 10. Jesus goes on as he's talking with his disciples on how to pray. He says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." Now, lots of people take this out of context, and they say, "Well, I'm going to ask for $1 million. And see, it says right here, ask, and you will receive." And so they're waiting on their doorstep, waiting for Publishers Clearing House to come up. You know, that's an example of what it says in the Bible. We have to put it in context. You know, when you're doing God's will, ask and you will receive. In other words, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, then he will come alongside and create a partnership. And together, he will raise up people and resources and funding to help you accomplish what he wants to be done. It's a partnership. Ask. Ask, and you will receive. I want to suggest to you 5 ways today on how you can bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth for somebody. If you want to write these down, you can. Or those of you who have better memories than I have, you can catalog this. Number one, we can bring the kingdom of God on earth by teaching people how to live moral lives, by teaching people to live lives of purpose and passion. You know, I was naive. I really thought by now, after this country had spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on education against drugs, against smoking cigarettes, and all this stuff, that we would be far better than we were when I was growing up. A female teenager starts smoking every 6 seconds in this country. Every 6 seconds. In spite of the billions of dollars we spend on telling people how bad smoking is. You know. We got to teach people better. We got to teach people to live a moral life better. We got to teach people to learn how to live like using the qualities of mission for character. We got to help people to figure out that they can live a life of purpose and passion for their Lord. They don't have to waste their life like so many millions of people are in this country. Number two, how can you bring the kingdom of heaven on earth? By taking care of the least of these. By taking care of widows. By taking care of orphans. By taking care of the poor. By taking care of those imprisoned in destructive choices. For the last, 20, 30, 40 years, there's been a debate going on in this country between evangelists who say that the church ought to be all about bringing people to Christ, to this other camp called social gospel, saying the most important thing the church needs to do is to speak to the culture and try to make the culture better. And so what we find are denominations usually go one way or the other in terms of their priorities of leadership and priorities of funding. In our denomination, we believe that both are essential. You know, that the best way to change our country is by changing one heart at a time. But there also comes a time in which you have to stand up and be counted. You have to say, this is wrong. The Reformed Church in America has historically done that. It was at the forefront of the women's suffrage movement, of giving women right to vote. I said in the earlier service, I wasn't sure that was a good thing. Boy, did I get hit. The Reformed Church in America was at the forefront of child labor laws. When this country went into the Industrial Revolution at the beginning of the 20th century, you know, children were employed 14, 16 hours a day in factories all across this country. You know, in the name of capitalism, we're going to do whatever we need to do. And the Reformed Church is at the forefront and saying, no, kids ought to be in school, not working in factories. So they lobbied laws to try and change that. The world headquarters of the Reformed Church in America was originally in New York City. And our ancestors saw the triangle fire in which 135 women died when there was a fire because they had padlocked the fire escapes to keep women from quote-unquote pilfering and leaving. You know? It's both. Not either or. It's both. Evangelism and changing the laws to build people up to make things more humane. Number three, bring justice to the earth, which is just what I talked about. Bring justice to earth. You know? If you read the Bible from beginning to end, it's all about justice. Worshiping a God of justice. The nation of Israel was to be a nation of justice. You know? When we are a nation of justice, then we're raising people up to help them be what God created them to be. Number four, to provide positive, loving, encouraging communities of faith where folks watch out for each other. You know? It's essential. It's absolutely essential. We can't do that here in this great big group on Sunday morning. The only way we can actually develop friends and develop caring for each other is through small groups. And we have all kinds of small groups here. That's the best way. And now we have years to prove that. You know, that's the best way, working through different kinds of groups. Number five. I don't know about you, but I think our world more like seems like hell on earth than heaven on earth. Right? I mean, there are days that I just cannot turn on the news. I just can't see one more thing. You know? One more thing. I don't think that's God's plan. That's not what God wants. And it's through people like you and I that we can change that. You know? And it's been my experience that when God calls us to do something, either individually or corporately, he never paints the whole picture. You know, it's kind of like life is a jigsaw puzzle. And how many of you like doing jigsaw puzzles? We got all those in back. You know, I hate jigsaw puzzles. I always lose pieces before I get them done. But God gives us a one piece at a time. When we ask him, when we trust him, one piece at a time, you know? And we get this piece done, and then he reveals to us the next piece. How many of you know what Prescott Community Church is going to be like 50 years from now? Me neither. I don't even know 2 months from now what it's going to be like. God reveals one piece at a time. And when you ask signs, you know, Ron Bites over here, one of his favorite sayings is that when he gets up in the morning, he says, "Lord, I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I'm available." You know? Now, you notice he didn't say, "But I also have this and this and this and this already pre-planned, so don't mess with that." And if I got any time left over, then he doesn't do that. He says, "I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." We all ought to be like that. You know? I'm available. And when your heart touches the heart of God and you say, "I am available," wow. It's exciting. It gets exciting to see what God's got planned. You never know. You never know when you're going to make a difference. I ran across this story of an elderly lady. She was driving from St. Louis to California. Well-to-do lady, well-dressed, well-heeled, drove a Mercedes. She's driving down the road, all of a sudden she starts hearing this clunk, 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 clunk. She didn't know what it was, so she pulled off the side of the road. She knew something was wrong, but she didn't know what it was. It was raining, dark. So as cars came down the highway, she tried to flag them down. She was getting all soaked, and nobody stopped. For an hour, she kept flagging. Nobody stopped. That was before the days of AAA and cell phones. finally, this beat-up old pickup truck pulls up behind her, and out comes this man, and he's kind of scraggly looking, and, you know, worn clothes, and she looked at him, got a little bit scared. Uh-oh, what's it going to do to me, right? And he says, "Ma'am, I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to help you. You know what's wrong?" "No." "Well, do you mind if I look around, see if I can figure out what's wrong with your car?" "Sure, go ahead." He says, "By the way, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. Because people have helped me in the past. I'm just passing on a good deed." And so he looks around the car and he sees that she has a flat tire. So he has her open up the trunk, and he gets out the spare and gets out the, you know, jack and the lug wrench and all that stuff. And in the rain, changes the tire for her so that she can get on her way. Wow. Have you noticed that people in Arizona, when it starts raining, they just scurry like rats? It's amazing to me. They don't know how to deal with rain. It's amazing to me. So she gets out her purse, pulls out her wallet, and she's going to give him some money for his stopping and help, which is very kind of her. He says, "No, no, 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 no." He says, "You know what? People help me all the time. I want to help you, and I'm not doing it for money. I'm just doing it because I care." So she says, "Okay." But then he says, "But the next time you come across someone that you think needs help, I want you to remember my name, Brian Anderson, and I want you to go to that person, and I want you to help him." She said, "Okay." So she gets in the car, goes down the road. By this time, it's getting kind of late. She's getting pretty hungry. Comes across a diner on the highway, pulls off, goes in, sits down at a table, drenched. This waitress comes up with a towel so she can dry herself off. And she knows that the waitress is 8 months pregnant. And she's waiting on tables 12 hours a day. 8 months pregnant. Well, she orders and gets the meal and eats and gets the bill from the waitress. And so she gives the waitress a $100 bill. Before the waitress can come back, she scurries out the door, leaving the change for the waitress. Now, I thought that was kind of cool myself, kind of generous. So the waitress goes back to the table, and there on a napkin, the woman has scrawled, "You know, I've been there. I know what it's like to be hurting. And I see you're 8 months pregnant. Maybe this can help." Underneath the napkin were four $100 bills in addition to the change. Wow. Wow. See, the problem with most of us is say, "No, no, 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 not my problem. It's got to be somebody else's problem." Right? Or, "I don't have time for this." Or, "She must have done something to deserve her predicament." Or we just make every excuse in the world not to help. But this woman chose to help this 8-month-old pregnant waitress. Well, the waitress finishes her shift. She goes home. Of course, she's on cloud nine, feeling pretty great, you know. Maybe there is some, you know, "We do have this baby coming. We don't know how we're going to pay for it, but this really helps." She climbs into bed late at night and turns to her husband. She says, "You know, honey, everything's going to be fine. I love you, Brian Anderson. I love you, Brian Anderson." You know, that's how God works. He works through surprising you and I. He uses you and I to be his hands and arms and feet and to usher in the kingdom of heaven. Just one slice, just one glimpse at a time through you and I. Wow. Well, next Sunday, we're going to continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. We're going to celebrate communion together. And we're going to talk about, "Give us this day our daily bread." And those of you that haven't really studied in depth what Christ meant by that. Come next week, you'll be really surprised at what he was trying to say to his 12 disciples. Let's pray. Lord, you say over and over and over again that the kingdom of heaven may be lived out on planet Earth, one moment at a time, one act of kindness at a time. And you've made it clear to us, just like the early church, that we are to be your arms and feet and hands, and we are to be your witnesses. We are to help those around us. We are to provide loving, caring communities of faith. Lord, thank you for us doing that. Help each of us to look for that next piece of the puzzle, to be fully in the will that you have uniquely designed for each of us. Thy kingdom, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how the Lord's Prayer ends, and that's how the Lord's Prayer begins. Thy kingdom of heaven. May we live it out as best we can on this planet Earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for a benediction. Go with God's love. Go with God's joy. Go with God's peace. And share his love with somebody this week who really needs hope in their life, who needs a lift in their life, who needs a hand up in their life. Amen.